The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
This evening, Lord, thank you. The entrance of your word gives light and understanding to simple hearts. We receive clarity of revelation and understanding to the end that we are justified, we are edified, and you are glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shout aloud, amen. Hallelujah. Good evening, proceed. First Thursday service, that is officially of the year 2026. Hallelujah. It's not officially because we are here last Thursday, but we are here by Marshall. Amen. Shall we have first this year of Thursday service? And we are going to be so blessed. I'm not sure you are going to be so blessed. We're going to be so blessed, we're going to be so changed, and we're going to be so transformed. Amen. This is what to do for yourself this year. So make up your mind that you have to be in every Thursday service. I follow you. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. One of the things the Lord has put very strong in my heart is that very soon, in a month or two from now, we are going to expand this study service and make it bigger. Make it bigger. It's going to be, like I said, prophets and miracle service. Amen. But then whether we do that or not, we've got to make up our mind. I don't think any serious Christian goes to church once in a week. I don't think so. I get to the point. I don't think any serious Christian, for whatever reason, will go to church once in a week. It doesn't speak well of you as a Christian. Not to talk of going to church once in a month or whenever you can. Not going to church at least 2-4 times a week. I get to the point. Pick up your mind. The thing about it is that there will be a lot of things competing for your attention. So if you don't make it as a good, you don't decide, it's not a personal decision for you. You struggle. Amen. So make up your mind that every week, you're going to be here. So let the people around you know that this one will be in church. Do you get the point? This one will be in church on Thursday. Anything you're talking about, this one will not be there. Once it is Thursday, leave it. Because that's probably one man wanting to show that you really want to grow as a Christian person. I follow him. Look at the mind. So quickly, today, we started last week, should be last 2 weeks now, right? On plans and purposes. Do you remember? Plans and purposes. The Bible tells us, you know, we started by laying foundation, the fact that God has a plan for every human being. You see, nobody is an accident of creation. Before you are born, God had a plan for you. Before you were conceived, before your parents ever thought of having you, God already knew that you exist. And he had a plan for you. And these things are things that we can't argue. They are spelled out in God's word. In Psalm 139, you know, that scripture that we started with, verse 15. Psalm 139, verse 15. I'm just trying to do a quick recap because we've had 1 week apart so we can get into this. 139, verse 15. You see, my son, give me like NLT of this. Look at NLT. Then we look at maybe the passion. He said, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. And verse 16, he said, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Every single day was recorded. So in other words, before you were formed, God already knew that you will come, and you already planned every day. I love the Passion translation of that, so I'm just going to read it from here. That's TPT. If you have it, you can look at it. He said, you even formed every bone in my body when you created me In the tricky place, carefully, skillfully, you shift me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. I think that's very powerful. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. So before you were ever formed, God already knew that there would be a you. I get the point. That's why if you observe a couple of persons that a prophecy came about them before they were born in the Bible, the prophecy even carried their names and carried their destiny. That tells that actually God already planned that they will come, and God already even saw what they will be. People like Samson, the prophecy carried his destiny, that he shall liberate Israel from the hands of the Philistines and all of that. People like even Jesus, our Lord, and many other people. Jeremiah 1 verse 5, the Bible says, before I formed you in the belly, he said, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet. So before Jeremiah was born, he was ordained to be a prophet. So it's not particular with Jeremiah. If you read about Isaiah, so I think that's Isaiah 49. If you have Isaiah 49, maybe from verse, Isaiah 49, I'll read from verse 1. You know, you find that Isaiah said the same thing about himself. If you started reading the book of the month, you should have come across this and I'm saying, amen. He said, listen, O Isles, unto me, and hearken ye people from far. The Lord called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, had he made mention of my name. So before, as I said before, he was formed, the Lord already called his name. The Lord already called and declared this will be his name. So nobody actually is an accident like that. Nobody is. Nobody is. Nobody is. So you have to realize that because God is careful with how he made us, there is a plan he has for your life. And that plan, like I always say, precedes you. In fact, that plan precedes your parents. That plan precedes your parents' choice of getting married or decision to get married. Before your parents ever thought of coming together, God already knew that you would come. And you already planned that you will be this or you will be that. And so you begin to realize that part of success, no, for it to scratch that, what success really is in life is finding out what it is that God has ordained you to be and now becoming it. That's why we can now call you a success. So we will not confidently call you a success because you did well at this or at that, unless whatever you did well at aligns with what God has already ordained for you to become. I get what I'm saying now. And so, like I always say, if a car, I used that example the last time, if a car does not move, it doesn't convey people from one point to another. But that car, every time you spread clothes on it, the clothes dries very quickly. The car may be doing well as a clothes dryer, but it's doing very badly as a car because the purpose of the car is not to dry clothes. I feel what I'm saying now. If your phone can do so well, you want to use it to pluck mango. If it stones mango, it doesn't miss. It might be doing well as a mango plucker. Do you get the point? But it's doing so badly as a phone because it's meant to be able to send text messages, make calls. I get the point. So we define success by peoples. Success is defined by peoples. So before we can clearly call something success or failure, we must first define the peoples of that thing. When we find the peoples of the thing, we can now be able to say, oh well, this is a success or this failure. So you know this, your journey in life should start when you find out why God created you. Why are you here? Well, I'm going to get to this thing I'm saying now much later. Because that's actually what we're going to in this teaching. Amen. Are you getting the point? But that's what we're going to, but I'm not going to get there today. But it's good you know it. So our journey in this study so far is that we're trying to find out the plan, the will of how to, you know, the theme is plans and purposes. Right? We're trying to find out, you know, what is God's plan for our lives. And one of the ways to make sure you are walking in the plan of God for your life is that you follow the leading of the Spirit part time. Now hear what I'm going to say. It is walking and following God's leading every minute, every hour, every day that will eventually bring you into His plan. Let me explain it to you. There are two ways, you know, let me talk about, if you're going to maybe Lagos or Abuja, you've never been to Abuja before, but then you are en route to Abuja now. You know, even though you know you're going to Abuja, you actually don't know the road to Abuja. So there is need that you use your map and know that at least you have to turn right or turn left. It is following all those turn right, turn left, turn around, stop, move. That's how you get to Abuja. So if you do not follow
the leading of the Spirit every step on the way, you will not get to where God wants to get to. So even if I know, hear this very carefully, even if I know that the plan of God for my life is that I should be a pastor, now I have known my destination, I still need to follow the plan of God, the will of God, and the leading of the Spirit daily to be able to get there. So if I just know where I'm going to, and I ignore the daily leadings of God in my heart, I won't get there. So I want you to understand that very clearly. Because people just go and say, well, God says you're going to be a pastor. You say, oh yes, I know the plan of God for my life. What is the process to getting there? Who do you need to learn under? Where do you need to get to? So if you miss the steps and the stops, you might not get where you're going to. Or you might get there late. Are you following the point? So it's good that in studying the plan of God, all of that, that we learn how to be led by the Spirit and how to find the will of God every step on the way. And what I did for you last time we met was trying to show you how to keep your heart in the right condition such that you will always find God's leading very easily. Do you remember that? I gave you some examples. You know, so I gave you some ways to do that. How to keep your heart in the right condition such that you always find God's leading easily. One of the things I said, for instance, remember, I said one of the first steps is that you must trust in the Lord with all your heart. Remember that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Read it from Proverbs 3, verse 5 and verse 6. What it means is that you must believe, because how we came about that scripture is that the Bible says, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. So if you want to get to that point where you find the direction of the Spirit that He gives you, you must pay attention to these two verses. First, trust the Lord with all your heart. What does that mean? Believe that God wants to lead you. Believe, trust that He wants to. You must have faith in the fact that He wants to lead you and He will never leave you stranded. If you don't understand this and settle this in your heart, you might just find that there are people that are all over the place praying, God, please lead me. The prayer of God, please lead me, is a prayer of doubt. And you might finally not get find God's leading. God's leading for you becomes easy when you realize that He wants to lead you. For me, I trust the leading of the Spirit. And I trust that He can never lead me astray. I know He will lead me. Now, God is more interested in leading me than I'm interested in following Him. So that trust, you must trust Him. Believe that He wants to lead you. Every father wants to lead his child. Every father. A child doesn't need to pray for the father to lead him. I get to the point. Now, the prayer, and I hear this, the prayer for divine leading that we pray is simply agreeing with what God has already decided to do from time immemorial. God wants to lead you. Like if you find His leading every day, you first of all have to trust that He wants to lead you. I get to the point. Trust that He wants to lead you. One thing I'm sure is that at every point in time, God wants to lead me. One of the ways to show that you really trust that God wants to lead you, like I said the last time, is that you are willing to wait for His leading. Now, I can tell people confidently, I don't know what I'm going to do about this, but I'm going to know. Very soon I will know. They say, how are you so sure you will know? So because God will lead me. We saw that example in Daniel and his friends. When they told Daniel to interpret the dream, Daniel said, well, we don't know what this dream is. But give us time, we'll be back with it. Why was he so confident that he will come back with the answer? Because he knows that God always wants to lead. Now, that's the confidence you must carry if you're going to do life. I'm so sure that I'm setting out on this journey that God will show me what to do. I'm so sure. That's why if I hit any roadblock, I may not know what to do, but I will know. Not because I'm a good person, but because of God's commitment to me. Are you getting the point now? God is committed to leading His sons. And I am a son of God. Are you a son of God? God is committed to leading. Settle it in your heart. That's where your journey to divine leading becomes easy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust that He will lead you. Trust that He will lead you. Trust that He will direct your path. Trust that even if you don't know what to do, He wants to tell you. You know, there is a way many of us pray, not just about divine leading generally. Some of us pray as if we are more motivated than God. You know one thing about God, I've said it many times. You cannot get God to do anything He doesn't want to do. Don't forget this, and I say, you can't get God to do anything He doesn't want to do. So many of us come to prayer, say, God, I'm begging you, please show me what to do. Well, if He never planned to show you what to do, even your cry will not make Him show you what to do. He will show you what to do because He has already decided that He will show you what to do. So your prayer is just that you are coming in alignment and agreement with Him. That's all. will to hear us. He will never hear us. He hears us because it is His will to hear us. So next time you are faced with a difficult situation, settle in your heart. God wants to lead me out of this. It's His commitment to you as a son. So you must trust in the Lord with all your heart. Next, that verse, it says, lean not to your own understanding. What does that mean? That means you should not trust your natural wisdom to get the job done. And that's how many people miss God's leading. Because they're trusting their natural wisdom. So if you're in a situation, do not trust that your brain can get out of it. Now, hear what I'm saying. The Bible did not say, use not to your understanding. What did it say? Lean not to it. So God is not against using your natural brain or your brain or your wisdom. After all, He gave you the brain. I get to the point. It's good that in a situation, it's good you think. It's good to try to rack your head, crack your head and all of that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you are done racking your head, don't lean on whatever you came up with. And how do you show you're not leaning on it? Pray. Prayer is a major way you show and you display that you're not leaning to your own understanding. So when you see people take steps without praying, you know what they're saying? They're saying, God, we can do without your leading. Once you do not pray over a matter, you've said to the Lord, I do not need your leading on this matter. I can sort it out by myself. So trust the Lord with your heart. Do not lean to your understanding. In other words, trust the Lord. Lean to Him. So if I have a situation, I tell you what I do normally. I just pray. Yeah, I just pray. That prayer is a way to show the Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to bring the answer. So lean not. He didn't say use not. He said lean not. So you can use it. You can consult your natural intelligence, but don't lean to it. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, let me tell you what it means. It means if you have a situation, use your head. Think. Do whatever. When you are done doing that, make sure you pray. If you pray and what you are getting in your spirit contradicts what your natural intelligence is telling you, follow the spirit, leave your natural intelligence. That's what it means. I get to the point. Follow your spirit. I've had to deal with such cases a couple of times. We have had to make decisions even in church here that do not make any logical sense. But that's the point. It doesn't have to make sense. Now, if I finish praying and I did not get any contrary answer to what I've said in my natural intelligence, I'll go with my natural intelligence. I follow in point. What it means is that the Spirit of God within me is now agreeing to whatever I said in my head. I stay here now. So if you want to get married, now what you should not do is, I will not look at any girl or any boy. I will just stay in my room and pray. I say, Lord, speak to me. Tell me. People do that. Well, I don't agree with that. I believe you can. You know what you want. You know the spec you want. This girl is beautiful. This girl is spiritual. Now, consider all of that. But please, before you make the move, take quality time to pray. Your natural intelligence have chosen. Your emotions have chosen. I get to the point. Now, pray. Don't pray casually. What, when you are praying, you are saying to the Lord, yes, even though this is what I want, but I want you to say what you want. If you say that's not it, we are going to discard it now. And make sure you mean it. Make sure you mean it. Now, what you are not going to do is, even though I don't like, I'm going to pick a girl I don't like because I don't want to lean on my understanding. Please lean on your understanding. So, choose a guy you like, but please, before you make, because the thing about, let me tell you something, the point. The thing about liking people or hating them is that every human being, at least in a year, that is not married, randomly crushes on about 7 to 10 people every year. Some of them don't last for long. Some of them just say, man, this guy is so fine. And then you move on. Those things will come. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't want to understand. You know we know what we're saying. Sometimes it's just how the person will dress to church. Maybe somebody's leading prayer. Just say, man, my God, see how he's praying. See fire. Speaking fire. It comes all of us. Now, if we are all driven by our natural whatever, you find out that in a year we might enter 50 relationships. That's why you see people, and this is very bad. That's why you see brothers and even sisters who people look at them as though they're bad people. They're not bad people. You know what is happening? They see a guy or a girl they like. Before they ever reason, they've approached, saying hello, hi. It's when they've approached and they're now doing talking stage. 1 week into it, she looks and says, what's even in this girl? And he withdraws. Now, that's again the danger of rushing things. I get to the point. But then what it tells you is, before you make such moves, why not spend time to pray? Yes, your natural intelligence has chosen. But what you don't realize is that your natural intelligence has chosen about 5 other people before that day. I get to the point. When you were in final year, your natural intelligence chose one fine girl. When you were in third year, when you were in first year, when you were in secondary school, you had one girl that you said is this one till I die. But it's what is happening now. That girl has gone and you did not die. Now, what that simply tells you is that you don't go by what you feel alone. Now, we can apply that to every other aspect of life. Apart from marriage, every other aspect of life, it applies. You don't go by what you feel alone. You know, you might get to the point where you want to buy a property. And now, it's good to, you want to buy a property, consult the experts. Let them look at it and tell you this is the best. Don't rush. You don't say, I will just pray. No, consult the experts. Use your natural intelligence. Now, after that, check your spirit. Take time, pray. Because the experts may say, this is it. But that is, the experts don't know. They don't know the future. What they don't know is that the government is coming next week or next 2 months to come and demolish the entire place. Are you what I'm talking about? They don't know. The experts do not know that this place that tell you that is not a good buy, that is going to be, that road that will go through it, they're going to build that road next month. The experts will not know that. And it will increase the what do they call it now? It will increase the value, yes, of the land. Now nobody's going to know that. You can't know that by thinking. And that's why it's important that even though you use your natural intelligence, you don't lean to it. You don't lean to it. How do you show you don't lean to it? That you pray. So the man that wants to be led by the Spirit in 2026 must be given to prayer and praying over issues. That's one of the ways to position your heart to easily get it right with divine leading. If not, you're going to be having a lot of on and off. Today it's working, tomorrow it's not working. Lean not to understand it. Next, he said, in all your ways acknowledge the Lord. So in my note, I said, have the willingness to follow his leading in all your ways. Let God and even yourself know that you are willing to obey him no matter what. Yes. So Jesus displayed that in Luke 22, where he told the Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. You know, one of the ways to show that you are willing to obey God no matter what, because see this point I made now. This is why many people don't get divine leading. You know why? They are actually not ready to obey God. Yes. Many people are only ready to obey divine instructions if it already agrees with what they've decided before in their life. You know, there's a difference between obedience and agreement. You know what agreement is? Agreement is, I already dressed up, I'm going to the market. And you now come and say, you go to the market. I say, well, I'm already going there. Obedience is that I've just up to go to the market. And then an instruction comes, don't go to the market, start going to school now. Many people are not willing to obey. And because their heart is not willing to obey divine instructions, it is difficult for them to get the proper leading from the Spirit. Because when he comes, their heart is not willing to obey. Let me give you an example. You know, when there are people who actually don't care what God has to say, once it contradicts what they originally want to do, what you're going to find out is that God will not be talking to you. Not, he'll be talking to you, but you'll not be hearing him. Because your heart is already postured in a way that you don't want to hear him. You only hear him over what is convenient for you. You only hear him when he will tell you that somebody is about to give you money. You will never hear him say you should give somebody money. Are you following me now? You only hear him when they say somebody is going to come and bless you. You will never hear him when he says, go and make peace with that guy. Go and apologize to that brother. I'm not going to do that. You know, one of the major ways, and it's very important, one of the major ways to show that you are willing to obey God's leading, because God, it's not enough to say, God doesn't willing to obey him. No. One of the major ways to show it is in how you obey the already written word of God. Yes. especially over an issue. Let me give an example. I'll come back to marriage. One of the ways to show that you are really willing to obey God in the area of marriage is that you're already obeying Him in the instructions He's already giving concerning marriage in His word. If, for instance, the Bible already said you should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So you're already dating an unbeliever. And yet you are praying and saying, Father, lead me. No. By that decision you've taken to date an unbeliever, you already have shown the Lord, I'm not willing to obey you no matter what you say. Because the ones you say clearly in the word, I'm not obeying it. Are you getting the point now? You can't trust God to lead you in the area of business. Whereas the Bible already made it very clear that you should not defraud people. But then you are doing everything, defrauding people and say, Father, lead me. What should I do in 2026? You will hear nothing. Because the one already told you in the word of God, you're not obeying it. So there must be willingness to obey God. And that willingness will be shown in how you already obey Him. You know, I've taught this many, many times. Let me teach you this very simply. Anytime in your life that you don't know exactly what to do over a matter, you've not heard from God clearly over a matter, I tell you what to do. Do what the word says over that matter while you wait for other instructions. I'll get to that shortly today. So, you don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't know whether I should leave my job or whether I should get another job. I'm still praying about that. But I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do before you get the leading. Do what the word says. Be diligent with your work. Show up every day. Just obey the word. That obedience to the word is actually a testament and a testimony, a proof that when God eventually tells you what to do, you obey it. There are many who are not willing to obey God. So even when they are praying for divine leading, they are not willing to obey. And your heart knows they are not willing to obey. And I have many examples of this I'm showing you. I've seen this manifest a lot in marriage. In the area of marriage. In the area of marriage. You already have some things about who you want to marry that is totally against the scriptures. Me, I will not marry a very churchy person. I will not marry a very spiritual person. I don't want anybody the way they go. I may know they go to church too much. I just need a normal person. You know that statement? You're actually saying to God, don't lead me. Because God already told you that in His word, He wants you to marry somebody from your clan. Someone as spiritual as you are. Someone in the Lord. Somebody committed. That's what God wants. But no, I don't want to be a spiritual. God, please lead me. But please, as you are leading me, don't lead me to anybody that is going to church too much. Just lead me to someone that Choma Jesus with the touch of Beyonce. So that, you know, I need both of them. All these over spiritual people, I don't like them. Let me say this to you. From my experience, everybody I've heard that made that statement eventually didn't marry a believer. Yes. Because there is no combination like that. They are only pretenders. Because once that person you want to marry that has a touch of Beyonce begins to get stressed with the Lord, she'll begin to lose that Beyonce touch. I feel what I'm saying. Now, what is Beyonce touch? He wants somebody that is spiritual but can also wear short things. That's what he wants. So you want a non-growing Christian. Now that's what I'm opting for. A Christian that will not be serious with life. My sisters do want such things. So these church brothers are used to not start. I don't want that one. And if we no way. Sometimes we go to club. Sometimes, I don't want a drunkard, but at least, you know, when you are, if that's what you want, I'm telling you what you're going to get. Total unbelief. Because God is so much in love with His children that He will not give you one of them to destroy. Now, when you posture your hearts that you are willing to obey God over this matter by obeying what is found in His written word, it is now easier to hear Him when He's talking to you about, I know what I'm talking about. Take it to any other area. So someone is into internet fraud and he's praying, Father, lead me in my business. There is no leading coming. There's no leading coming. Obey the written word first. Ephesians 4:28, let him that steal, let him do what? Steal no more. Let him steal no more. Start with that. Put it up. Let him who stole, let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands. The thing which is good, start with that first. Start doing good work. Now you're already showing God, I'm ready for you to lead me, because when you posture your heart against the world, you've postured your heart against divine leading. When you posture your heart against the world, you've postured your heart against divine leading. So sometimes pastors come to me and say, I don't know what to do about our church. I've been praying. I don't know what is next for us. I always say to them, well, you keep praying, but I tell you what to do. Keep obeying the word. What do you do? Show up every day and teach. Mobilize the church for evangelism. Show up every day. Lead prayers. Just do the word in the church. While you are doing that, be praying. Because you can't be disobeying what God already told you in his word. And you're saying, Father, lead me. Your heart is already against the word. When you posture your heart against the word, you've postured your heart against divine leading. Shout amen, somebody. And I closed on that day by telling you two very important instructions. I said, deal with regrets. Deal with regrets from past mistakes. One reason why a lot of people don't eventually find divine leading easily is because they are feeling bad. They are feeling bad from the leadings they've had before that they missed. There are people who are feeling bad. Oh, you know, God led me to do this and I missed. I failed God. I failed my gender. That, deal with that regret. The thing that many people are not willing to say, including me, is that we've all missed God at some point. Are you following what I'm talking about? Yes. There have been times when we didn't get it right. Everybody has at one time or another missed God at some point. So deal with the regret. The problem is that if you stay in that guilt of, you know, I would have been a billionaire now. Maybe God led you to invest this 1 million naira you have into something. And you did not listen to him. And 1 week after, that particular stuff did times 1,000. So it would have earned you 1 billion naira. You know, the devil can haunt you with that for 10 years. Say, if you had been listening to Pastor when he's teaching, simply how to follow the leading of the Spirit, you missed it. Now, do you know before this cycle comes again, let me even clear it. I said the last time, God is not a God of second chance. God is a God of multiple chances. He gives you many chances. That's why he's a good God. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So deal with that regret. Oh, I've missed God. You know, I've heard people feel so bad. Let me tell you a story. A young man, you know, was seeing this girl in church. Maybe this story will correct a few things. I don't know. If it does, it's fine. Seeing this girl in church and liking this girl. But you know, this girl in question always dresses like a married woman. I mean, you know what I mean? Not like she's trying to pop up, she's trying. And she has a lot of married friends. And she always carries their babies. So in that church, the guy will look. He even had that leading in his heart that this is. He said, oh God, I can't be leading with somebody's wife. So sisters, by way of digression. You know, but for real now, big digression. There's a way a single lady should dress. Now, I'm not saying you should start going naked to show that you're single. But there's a way a single lady should dress. I get to the point. Did you hear what I said now? Even married women in this church are killing it and dressing very fine. You cannot fail your generation. That's the way married single lady should dress. I get to the point. And if you have a habit of filling your hand with rings, please lose your fingers and let them go. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that before we are now assuming that. Now, I have many stories like this. I'm not joking. Forget I'm joking with that. It's good I tell you the truth with laughter. But take it seriously. If somebody is looking at you saying, I like her, if not that she's married. But you, singlehood is has tabernacled in your home. And they think you are saying you're married. Now, it may not be a big deal now, much of a big deal, with the size of church that we have now. Just have a few hundreds. But think of a church of 5,000 people. You can just be looking at somebody. Somebody, and even in this sense of church, somebody can be seeing you in the choir. A new person comes, looking at you in the choir, singing or in the usher, ushering. They say, I like that. Just that. I think she's married. So, well, that was the case. So, this brother kept looking at the sister. And every time he sees the girl, the Lord says, she said he had that nudge in his heart. But then he would tell the Lord, she's even carrying her baby.
The
No. That working in the children's church, oh. That working in exalted kids, don't look at them like that. Anyway, well, that was the case. And that played on for so eventually the guy went on and married another person. So now I'm going to start with this story. I'm talking about the family, not marriage. So after some time, the pastor of this lady, who was the one that told me the story, observed this lady, you know, and then called and gave her some counsel. He says, change all these things you're wearing. Counsel that, change, stop carrying all those children. After service, don't be carrying children up and down. Sit around, walk around, you know, so that. And she hit, she said she did the counsel, less than 1 year, because she was beautiful, according to the story. She got married. Do you know the day they announced her wedding in church? But that brother wanted to run mad. Now, he was already married, quite all right. But he kept saying, he went to the pastor, the Lord told me about this lady. So he had to live with the guilt for some time. So the pastor had to call him and say, no, you are married now. You marry gossip for your life. Focus on your wife. You know, but people can live without regret for long. Now, whether we admit it or not, we've all missed it at some point. But if you stay with that regret, that guilt, that condemnation, you won't even make progress. One of the things it comes with is even fear. How am I sure I will not miss it again? Deal with the regret. You know, one of the ways to treat regret, and I'm going to tell you very, in the age of divine leading, once you find out that you've missed it, make a U-turn immediately. It's not hard. Immediately. You know, we're looking at the story of Paul, you know, how they eventually got to Macedonia. Now, when you read the Bible, the story normally, it looks like they say today we're going to Macedonia, we're going to Bithynia, and the Holy Ghost said no. Tomorrow we are going to Mysia. But that's what happened. We saw it last time. They were already on their way to these two places. But right on the way, the Holy Ghost stopped them. So they decided to go. So in other words, in a sense, they were already missing God's leading by going to that place. But what changed? Maybe they found that it wasn't God's will. Once they found that coldness in their spirit, they stopped. So you might already be set on your way doing something. That's why I normally tell people, if you already find out you're already missing God, stop at that moment. No matter how far you've gone. No matter how far you've gone, instead of dealing with the regret, stop at that moment immediately. Stop. If you already founded a church that God lead you to find, stop immediately and close it. That's not supposed to be hard. Say, won't they laugh at you? Let them laugh. Let them laugh. So follow the divine leading, but deal with regrets. Don't let the devil bring you to that point where you are just regretting. Hi, if I wish you brought this teaching earlier. Do you know I missed God? 2 months ago, the Lord told me da-da-da-da-da. Please don't do that. We've all had our own stories of missing God at different points. Are you following the point? Are you following me now? I've been in relationships that children have been in that didn't lead to marriage. And looking back now, it was so clear I didn't hear God on those matters. I didn't follow God. But then, what should I now do? Start feeling bad. Oh, if I had known. Forget about it. Repent from it and learn from it and do better next time. Is that very clear? That's what you do. So deal with the regrets. Deal with the regrets. If you're already in a relationship now that you're not supposed to be in, stop it now. Repent from it. That's what you do. You don't just stay there and say, I know I miss God, but it's already late. Are you married already? Oh, you're not. It's not late. Because we've gone too far. There's no far. So we won't come to see you in your office. And so, come again. For real. Come again and tell me, I know I came the last time, but I'm back. And my dog, I know I came and I told you this, and I'm telling you. So what will you do? I will deal with you. I just give you a few months to go and pray. To be sure that not after you end the relationship, you come back and tell me, oh, sir, you know I ended before. I'm back again. I want to be sure that you really heard God. That's all. I'm saying it. They don't be ashamed of saying, if I end this, they will now say, I didn't hear God. But you didn't hear God. What is it to be ashamed of? You learn from your mistakes. I get to the point. I can start things in church here and stop it at any time if I find out that we're not doing it right. But again, will not cease to tell us stories of how he missed God at some point in his own journey. How they even built, when they were building their Rema building, how they even built a particular building and labeled it counseling room. You can imagine they built an entire building for counseling. Only for a few years down the line, the Lord told them, I didn't ask you guys to counsel anybody. What did they do? They changed that building. We stopped being counseling room. Don't say, ah, but we have built a building for it. We've dedicated the building for counseling. Are you following what I'm saying? Even if you've gone that far and missing divine leading, stop already. And not being filled with regrets. And the last thing I told you the last time before we left on that day is deal with fears. Deal with fears. Deal with fears. What I mean by that is fears of missing it. Please deal with it. Fears of missing divine leading. Deal with it. Deal with it. How am I sure? Not missing it. How am I sure? Oh God, please let me not miss it. Once you come under that pressure, God, let me not miss it. Please, if I don't miss it, you're going to miss it. Let me tell you something. God wants to lead you. That's why I said we trust in the Lord. And listen to what I said on the last time. I won't repeat it. Nobody, now anybody that ever missed God deliberately. What I mean by that is, if you really want to know God's leading, you won't miss him. Because God leads us. If you do not hear, he will send somebody to tell you. He will shake you up. He will shout it to your ear. He will come to your dream. You can't miss him. Once there is interest in knowing what God wants to do, you cannot miss God. You cannot miss God by mistake. You can only miss God deliberately by deciding, I'm not going to hear you. But if I decide, he will talk to you. There is nobody that has ever missed God. That when the thing went wrong, something that you told you, but God was talking to you about this matter. You will know. You will know. So don't be afraid of missing God. He will always get through to you. I get what I'm saying now. Are you following me, friends? God will always get through to you. Always. Always. At all times. Are you getting the point now? It's my confidence. I'm not afraid of missing God. Once I get to pray, he will tell me what to do. So all this fear of, am I sure this is not the will of God? If I'm not sure, go and pray. You will be sure. Because the thing about fear is that for many people, fear of missing God has kept them at the spot for long. Why not doing the business yet? I want to be sure it's the will of God. And then, 1 month, February, March, you're not even, I'm still want to be sure it's the will of God. Most times, if a Christian is staying for 3 months and 4 months and has been praying effectively and is still not sure it's the will of God, it is not the will of God. Most times. But most times, what has happened is that the person is sure it's not the will of God. Right? But he's trying to see if he can make it the will of God. There's something I want to say. It will shake up a lot of things here. But I just feel I'm going to say it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, if there's a lady or a guy in your life, you've been talking to, you guys have been talking, and it's been 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 7 months, and the person is still not sure whether they are the will of God. You are not. Are you guys following what I'm saying now? Very clearly. At least you're in the church. I tell you, pray. If you pray for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5, 6, the chances are that person is planning wedding. He just uses you to hold body. They are just enjoying your company. Do you know what I'm saying now? I've seen this. I've seen this thing play out many times. You know, one of my mentors, some years ago, she used to share with us. How one girl came to him and was telling him, you know, there's this brother has been talking. Because the brother came to meet this my mentor and was saying, you know, I've been talking to this lady. She said she's been praying. She's been praying for over 1 year. She's been praying and I'm not getting an answer. And so he called this lady and said, what? He said, so I'm not yet sure it's the will of God. So by the wisdom of God, he called the lady aside and said, tell me the truth. Onye ki neche? Who are you waiting for? He said, daddy, he said, no, tell me the truth. It turns out there is a brother she's waiting for, hoping that the brother will say something. But then he's holding, keeping the other brother aside so that if this brother doesn't say something, this other brother can say, do you understand what I'm saying now? And sisters, sisters, God bless you. God bless you. So what he now told the lady, fine, call the other brother for a meeting. Take him to people's personal space. Ask him, what are we doing? You know, there are times you have to decide like that. Well, they're married now. She and the brother she was waiting for. Because she eventually... So the other brother was waiting for 1 year. She eventually went to say, what are we doing? He said, I just didn't know how to talk to you about it. But the rest, they say, is history, my beloved brethren. But for real, it's told me, when people begin to say, I've been waiting upon the Lord, that's why I'm delaying. Most times, they are either playing with you or they're afraid of missing God. Stop being afraid of missing God. I said it last time. When we ask you to pray for 3 months, it's not because I do not know that you can find God's will in 1 month, even in 1 day. I've made it very clear. You can find God's will even in 30 minutes of prayer. But because you know that marriage is a sensitive issue and it has to do with emotions, we always want you to pray that long, not just to deal with knowing whether it's God's will or not, to deal with conviction issues and everything that God can put in your heart. So that you will not wake up to, but I believe if you pray over a matter concerning for 3 months and you still believe what you believe over that matter, the chances are you really heard God. Because we know the emotions can mix up with some of these things. That's why I ask you to pray for that long. But apart from that, God will not delay to talk to you. So don't be afraid of missing God. Hallelujah. So, are you blessed? I just took you through last time. You don't observe now. So let's see if we can look at today. So I'll continue in this line of thought. How, you know, I want to bring you to a point where it is very easy for you to find divine leading. Next, on Sunday also, I may start dealing with things surrounding world witness and all of that. How to hear God. But before I get to that, I want to bring you to a point where it becomes very easy for you to always find divine leading. Ephesians 5 verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you there now? Are you there? See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord and all that. We're going to continue with that much later. So you notice it says we should not act as fools. Amen. He said we should not act as what? That's verse 15. He said we should act as though we are wise, because we are wise people. Amen. We are wise people. And he now said, be not unwise, verse 17. He said, but understand this. So one of the marks of wisdom is that you understand what the will of the Lord is. Is it clear? So one of the marks of wisdom is that at every point in your life, you understand what the will of the Lord is. And he didn't leave us to begin with girls. He showed us how. In the next verse, he said, and. When you see the word and, it tells you that it's a continuation of the statement from the first verse. The interesting thing about that word and is that that word is the Greek word kai. K-I. And I've told you most times when that word kai appears in the Bible, not all times, but sometimes when it appears, and exactly in this case, it's not being used as a conjunction. It's used as an explanation. So I could say something like, I want to thank my wife and my best friend. Am I talking to two people or one person? So, and in that context, is not a conjunction. The word and is explaining the word wife. You get the point? My wife, who is also my best friend. Do you understand? My wife and my best friend. But I can use that word and, it will mean something else. I can say, I want to thank Pastor Casey and Brother Chibai. The and there is a conjunction. It's not explaining anything. It's not Pastor Casey, who is also Brother Chibai. Do you understand? So the context of the usage tells that the and can have different meaning. So in this context, the word and there means witches. So if we read from verse 17, go back to verse 17, it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, which is What's the will of the Lord? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but... So God's will, and this is very important, God's will for you at all times is that you are filled with the Spirit. I'm doing something with this station. God's will for you at all times is that you are always filled with the Spirit. In fact, the way this appears in the original Greek is be, how it appears is this, be being filled with the Spirit. Now, that's wrong English, but I'm using it that way for a reason. Be being filled. In other words, always be filled. Give me Amplified Classic. Always be filled. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled. What it tells you is that it's not something that happens once. Give me the Passion Translation if you have it. You have to always be filled with the Spirit. If you are filled today, you have to be filled tomorrow. That is what the will of God is. And why this matter is so important, and I'm going to say it this way. You might not yet know what God wants you to do in a particular situation, but you know what He wants you to do at all times. What is that? He wants to always be filled with the Spirit. And the reason is because once you stay full of the Spirit, it is now easier for you to know what He wants to do about that particular situation. I'll say that again. You might not know exactly what God wants to do. I may be in the midst of a fix. I don't know what God wants me to do. But I know what His will is. While I may not know His will for this particular situation, I know what His will for my life is. Look at that. And don't get drunk with wine, Passion Translation, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting me, friends? Are you still here now? Always be filled. So while you might have questions about what should I do in this matter, that is something you should know to do. The Passion Translation, this particular edition I have here, says, and don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. So it's not what should happen once. It's not just what happens on the day you get born again or the day you begin to speak in tongues. I will explain it to you. The day you began to speak in tongues or the day you got born again, the Holy Ghost entered you. There is no doubt about that. Are you following me now? And the Holy Ghost does not leave. And the Holy Ghost is in you fully. There's no doubt about that. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is not to get more Holy Spirit. It actually talks about stirring up the Holy Ghost from your inside. So the Holy Ghost is in you. But when you stir, how do I put this now? You know, you can have a battery that is not charged. So when you charge that battery, it comes alive. So the Holy Ghost is in you. But without getting filled with the Holy Ghost every day, you can as well live as though you don't have the Holy Ghost. Yes. Like you can be filled with the Spirit because you're born again. But yet talk and act and have results like someone doesn't have the Holy Ghost at all. You know why? Because you are not continually filled with the Spirit. So the Bible is telling us that what the will of God for our lives is that we are continually filled with the Spirit. Are you still here, friends? Continually. So while you might not know, now watch this. I'll say this again. While you may not know yet what God wants you to do in a particular situation, you know what He wants you to do at all times. Practice that first. Be filled with the Spirit. This keeps you more sensitive to know what His will is over that situation. So, I give an example. There is a case at hand, and I want to know what God wants me to do. And I don't have all the answers yet. Instead of crying, I say, God, I'm confused. Be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to show you how. Get filled with the Spirit. Once you get filled with the Spirit, now, you're already obeying what God wants you to do now. You know, when we say things like, no believer is confused. I can never be confused. It's not just a confession, it's a fact. Because what to do at every time is clearly written in God's word. Be filled with the Spirit. So what is the will of God for your life today? Huh? What's the will of God for your life tomorrow? And next week? What's the will of God when everything is fine? What is God's will when everything is bad? What is God's will when you are confused? Be filled with the Spirit. Get yourself full of the Holy Ghost. Now, that is God's will. That's God's will. It's as simple as that. If you're going to practice this, not only will you always walk in the will of God, you always know what to do at every time. Because when we get into it, you find that once you get yourself filled with the Spirit, full of the Spirit at every time, you will now get to have insight into what to do of every matter. So when you hear me say this, like I've never been confused, it's because what to do is very clear on God, in God's word, the flow of the Spirit. Are you still here? Go back here. Go back to verse 17. Give me like Message Bible. Let's look at Message Bible. Don't live carelessly. Make sure you understand what the master wants. Verse 18. Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, which draughts of Him. Are you getting the point now? Not two cups. Always be full of the Spirit. When you get yourself full of the Spirit, you're already doing what God wants you to do. Are you getting the point? Say, Mr. I know the will of God for my life. So what is the will of God for your life? God wants me to be full of the Spirit. So living a Spirit-filled life is God's will for your life every day. Living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-controlled life is God's will for your life today, yesterday, and forever. And then, go back to King James now. So, very clear. And what something I want to say, if I continue. Being filled with the Spirit is not some mystical thing. So how do I know if I'm filled with the Spirit? I'm going to show you today. Because the thing about this, being filled with the Spirit is so practical that if someone is filled with the Spirit, even others can see it. It's so practical. Let me give an example. In Acts chapter 6, they wanted to pick 7 men that will serve tables. So give me Acts 6, verse 2, verse 3. Now watch carefully. The 12 called and said, okay, verse 3, watch. He said, we have 4 brethren, look here among yourselves, 7 men of what? What's the first qualification? Talk to me. Honest report. Secondly, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So they needed 3 qualifications. Men of honest report, men full of the Holy Ghost, men full of wisdom. And they were able to, the church was able to pick these 7 men. What it tells that we are full of the Spirit, others will even see it. Others will see it and know it. It's not such thing that if I'm full of, only me knows if I'm full of the Holy Ghost or not. No. The church was able to pick out 7 men who were full of the Holy Ghost. They didn't ask the apostles, how are we going to know if they are filled with the Holy Ghost or not? No. If they are full of the Holy Ghost, we will see it. It's a practical thing. So, I tell you, if you stay full of the Spirit, we self will see it. Even you cannot be full of the Holy Ghost. Are you following the point? Now, look at this. All of them, they were talking to the entire church. And say, pick out 7 men of honest report who are full of the Holy Ghost. So, in other words, even though everybody in the church has the Holy Ghost, not everybody in the church has learned how to practice being filled with the Spirit. So, they say, pick out 7 men who it has become their culture and they walk like they're always full of the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? So, we can know. And that will be the will of God for your life. Now, the reason why you look at me, and I'm going to better get it to you, I'm showing you, why I said, in all humility and in all gratefulness to God, I can never be confused about what to do. Never. I've never actually been confused about what to do. I just know what to switch into. That's why initially I was telling you, obey God's word on a matter. What to do over that matter will open up easily. God's word is already clear that what the will of God for your life is that you be filled with the Spirit. When you are in a difficult situation, get full of the Spirit. Apart from the fact that you are now obeying God, you will now know what else to do. Are you following me this evening, everybody? So how do you get full of the Spirit? It's very clear. Ephesians 5 verse 18. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in what? So he's telling you how. So be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not about mysticality. It's not about falling under anointing and scattering everywhere. That's not what he's saying. He says, speaking to yourselves in Psalms. It will interest you to know that every time in the Bible where you see the word be filled with the Spirit appear, you always find speaking attached to it. Observe that. In Acts 2 and verse 4, on the day of Pentecost, give me that verse on the screen. On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse 4, he said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Now, pay attention, I'm taking it somewhere. Began to speak. Everywhere you find, be filled with the Spirit, the next thing you find is that people begin to speak. So there is something about speaking and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because it is in speaking that we are showing that we are full of the Spirit. Or can I put it another way? It is by speaking that we get full of the Spirit. But speaking what? We're going to find out shortly. See, in Acts 2 verse 4, they began to speak with other tongues. Are you following me now? In Acts chapter 10, verse 44, and that was Peter in the house of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, thank you, Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which had the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as stayed with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out on Gentiles, what did you notice? Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So every time you find people being filled with the Spirit, they only speak. Are you following what I'm talking about? So I'm teaching you how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because when we say, be filled with the Holy Ghost, how do I do it? Is it to stay in my room? I'll be shouting, come, 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 Holy Ghost, come. Holy Ghost, come. Or fill me, fill me, fill me. Feel me, Lord. You can dance that all night. Because look at the point. If you pay attention to that Ephesians 5, he didn't say, ask the Holy Ghost to fill you. He said, be filled with the Spirit. When I tell you, be filled, what does that tell you? I'm putting the responsibility on you. Do you understand? If I say, be filled with water, what am I saying? Drink water. When he says, don't be filled with wine, what does he mean? Don't drink wine. I get to the point. When I say, be filled with food, is it for you to open your mouth and say, Holy Spirit, give me food? If God will go, take food and eat. So I'm saying, so when he says, be filled with the Holy Ghost, it's not something you ask God to do. It's something you do. And I'm really beginning to see something here. So every time they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak. They began to speak. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. It's a consistent thing in the book of Acts. So when Paul was saying, be filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what he was saying? Speak. Speak. What do you do? First speak in tongues and then speak in prophecies. So when I spend my time praying in the Holy Ghost in my room, and I pray the Holy Ghost to a point and I begin to speak in English, I begin to speak prophetically in English, I'm getting myself full of the Holy Ghost. So it's not something somebody has to do for you. You can do it for yourself. Just like you can go and plug your phone and get yourself charged. Paul says, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Speak to yourselves. Now look at what he says in Ephesians 5:19. It says, speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. What are psalms? What are hymns? Those things are prophetic, inspired stuffs. Now you can pray the Holy Ghost to a point. I begin to speak psalms. You begin to speak, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Who has saved me? Who has delivered me? That's a psalm. A psalm may have rhythm, it may not have rhythm, but it's inspired utterance. It's an ode. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That's a psalm. A hymn, the same thing. That you can speak it just like that until a song begins to pass from your spirit. You just find yourself singing. So sometimes it's a song you already know. Sometimes it's a song you don't even know from anywhere. It begins to pass. Spiritual songs. Singing and making melody. That's how we feel the Spirit. Now, did you observe? Now, pay attention to this. This is how David did his life. Do you realize that for every event that happened in David's life, there is a psalm for it? Go and read the book of Psalm. A psalm of David when he was running away from Saul. A psalm of David when he destroyed his enemies. A psalm of David when he killed Goliath. A psalm of David. So for every time, he practiced this thing. Are you following what I'm talking about? So when you live a life full of the Spirit, no matter what is going on, you don't know what to do yet. Break into tongues. From tongues, get into prophecies. Get into psalms. Bible said, they spoke in tongues and magnified God. You can pray in tongues and the next thing that begins to pour from your mouth is thanksgiving. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God for giving us victory, for making us breakthrough. You might not know what to do, but this is what to do. Start with tongues. Start with interpretation. Start with prophecy. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. What are you doing? You are getting yourself filled with the Spirit. That is what to do. Once you begin to practice this, watch what is going to happen. Your spirit will begin to open up to what exactly to do over the matter. We've gotten to times, even in the course of running this church, even building this building, it happens even recently. When I make up the bat, I don't know what to do again. You will never see me saying, "Hi, oh, so what are you doing?" So I'm just thinking. I'm just so thinking, man. I don't know. You might just see me make out my time. And the next thing, a psalm may begin to burst forth, or prophetic words begin to come forth. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who causes us to triumph always, and always shows us what to do, never leaving us confused. Thank you, Lord, for we can never be stranded. And you always make a way where there was no way. And even now, you are showing us the path of life and the path that we must walk. This is can burst forth from your spirits. And from not knowing what to do, you are filled with ideas. So you don't know what to do. Be filled with the Spirit. Have a seat. I'm teaching. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Psalms, hymns, spiritual song. Look at that. Speaking to yourselves. Give me like NLT. Speaking to yourselves. He says singing. And all of that. Now he said making music in the heart. In your heart. Next verse. Sorry, another translation rather. Like Amplified Classic or so. Of that verse 19. Speak out to another in psalms, give a spiritual song, offering praise with voice and trunk instruments. Making melody with all your heart to the Lord. So learn to practice this. They don't know what to do. Break out into tongues. From there, break out into prophecies. From there, break out into singing. Now, that's what to do. Once you do that, even if you do not yet know what to do, you've done what to do. Whether things are good or they are bad, be filled with the Spirit. Get yourself full of the Spirit. Now, imagine you make up your mind in 2026. And every morning, I'm going to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Every morning. You know what you're doing? You're already doing the will of God for your life every day. I wake up in the morning. Before I'm done praying, I break out into psalms. I break out into prophetic words. Declare words and all that. And then you finish. Live like 1 hour. Woo! You just step out. You just got to step into the Holy Ghost. Just like you wake up every morning. What do you do if there has been no light throughout the night? And you wake up and there's no light. What's the first thing you do? If there is no light throughout the night and you now wake up in mind that is light, what is the first thing you do? Say the truth. What is the first thing you do? You go and charge your phone. That's what you do. Is that not what you do? I know you. I mean, if the power in your house is a bit epileptic, you don't know when the light is going again. Just rush. Now that's the way you wake up every morning. Get yourself charged. That's what to do. Now, if you keep yourself in that state, it is not possible for you not to do the will of God. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is what to do. He said, I don't know what to do. No believer should talk like that. There is what to do. You already know it. He said, I'm just so confused at the moment. I think I'm out of ideas. No, that's not correct. You're not out of ideas. Switch into prayers. Switch into tongues. Switch into declarations, prophecies, psalms and hymns. What to do will come flooding. That's why I've never been confused. And that's not because I'm superhuman. That's because the Bible is clear. He said, the will of God is for you to speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So next time you don't know what to do, that's what to do. And look at what he says next. See the next verse, verse 20. He didn't stop there. I wish we had more time. He said, and at all times, go to King James. Giving thanks always for all things to the Lord. That's the next one to be filled with the Holy Ghost. How do you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Number one, speak to yourself in psalms. Number two, give thanks. Ooh, imagine you are so confused about what to do. And you begin to give thanks. Say, what is the will of God for this matter? Give thanks. Have you read 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18? It's the same instruction, but it came a bit differently. He said, in everything, what did he say? Give thanks. Why? Read it. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning. So, what does God want me to do now? Give thanks. So, I really don't know what to do. Have you spoken? Have you gone into praise? Have you tried psalms? Have you tried tongues? Have you tried prophetic words? What of thanksgiving? Well, when people say, I don't know the will of God about this matter. You know the will of God about the matter. The will of God is that you should get yourself filled with the Holy Ghost and give thanks. Now, watch this. He didn't say for everything, give thanks. Now, that's the mistake people make. He didn't say start thanking God because you are broke. Thank God because you are sick. That's not what he said. He didn't say give thanks for everything. He said give thanks in everything. In other words, even though you are sick, give thanks. Even though you don't know what to do next, give thanks. Even though it looks like you are at the crossroad where you don't know your left from your right, why don't you begin to give thanks? What to do is to give thanks. For in doing what the word has said you must do, you will now know other things to do. Are you following me this evening at all? That's why I say it with confidence. No believer should be confused. Because the will of God is so clear. Because we are not alone. God is with us. Sing it again. Because we are not.
God is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
This is the will of God concerning you. So next time a brother comes to you and says, I really don't know what to do about this matter. Tell him, Ephesians 5, 17, 18, 19, 20. Speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Break out into singing. Break out into thanksgiving. That is what to do. I can never not know what to do. How can you not know what to do? How can you say you don't know what to do? Yeah, what to do has been written. Now think about that. Ephesians 5, 17. He said, no, he said, do not be unwise. He said, know what the will of God is. Verse 18, he said, be not drunk with wine. Speak to yourself in psalms. So you can't say you don't know what to do. You know what to do. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Get yourself charged up. Because now look at the mysterious thing here. If there is a situation, look at this. If there's a situation and you don't know what to do about it, and you break out into tongues, and then from there you get into personal prophecies, your personal, your private prophecies, you get to interpretation, oh Father, well, thank you, you are causing everything to align. If you do all of that, and you still don't know what to do, but you've done what God says you will do, you might just find out that you come out tomorrow, the situation has been solved. I get the point. Because you've done the will of God. Just do the will of God. Just do the will of God. In doing that, you now know other things to do. So David had a psalm for every situation. So even when he was in the cave of Adullam, he had a psalm. When Saul was pursuing him, he had a psalm. Is that not showing you a pattern? That you must have a psalm for every situation. I'm not talking about opening the book of Psalm. I mean, words that pour forth from your spirit that begin to speak forth, no matter what is going wrong. Start with tongues. That's where you start from. Hoshate korata sombala. Ekaro shibam bradika. Ede kokombrika shitaya. Ebreda zimfretile bringa liandro doga. E shati sopem bratia. Eda keko brodiza. Embradisha prenda lekandi. Rebebeben grabandi. Roboshate lakea. For I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. And he will always show me the path of life and the path that I must walk. For ye kekodom balekam balakaya. For those may say, though some may say he's at the end of his life, and others may say he might not know what to do, but I trust in the Lord, I follow the light of life, and I will never be confused. So surely I know the path that I must walk, surely I know the path that I must follow. For I may not know what to do, I may not know where to go, but I know who to follow, and as I follow the light of life, I will never walk in darkness. You know, you can just break into that. By utterance, you find what to do. You find what to do. You find what to do. So be filled with the Spirit. That's what to do. That's what to do. Say, I just don't know what to do about this matter. Go and get filled with the Holy Ghost. I've told you guys this story many times. how I have intercepted by God's leading and all of that, someone that was about committing suicide. Have your seat. About committing suicide. Already gotten to the point I was saying, I want to kill myself, I'll end it all. Why? Said, I'm just so confused. I said, well, it's very simple what to do. I said, you're going to pray, you're going to rejoice, you're going to run, you're going to shout. She said, I'm not in the mood for that. I said, just do it. On the phone, she prayed, she shouted, she ran. Do you know, when you do the will of God, which is by getting yourself filled with the Spirit, sometimes you find out that the issue is not as big as you thought it was. Mm-mm. It's not. Just speak to yourself in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. Then give thanks to the Lord for all things. Or in all things, rather. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you. I may not know what is happening, but thank you. So what are we thanking God for? Thank you for being a provider. Thank you for sustaining. Thank you for not letting it get worse. Just thank the Lord. I have observed that in an atmosphere of thanksgiving, it is easier to know what God wants you to do. I've observed it, and it's something I've practiced for long. There was one day, you know, we had a fixed sort of, it's still in the course of this building project. I'll still tell you the full story when everything, when you are done with this, which is actually very soon. You know, right? Very soon, this will be done. Work started a little today. Tomorrow, work is going to commence fully. Amen. Now, one day, I was just thinking of what to do. And I came out, I was bothered. I came downstairs. I came to our down parlor and all that. And I wanted to pray. And I just found myself, as I tried to pray, into the Lord said, just thank him. Just thank me. Just thank me. So, you know, there is that human thing. I tried to thank God. I said, Father, thank you for everything. Well, see now. He said, no, go back there. Thank me. So, I just yielded to it. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I sang. I rejoiced. And the Lord told me that emphatically. He said, I'm going to give you a miracle. And at the point when I was praying, the account was already shining red. It was a few days, few weeks or so to so away. And in less than 2 days after that, a miracle actually came in. Now, when I asked the treasurer, how much is the account? He said, nothing. I said, fine. The after some time, I said, how much? He said, it's now, they gave me the figure. The Lord said, I told you I would give you a miracle. And everything about this building project has been miracle, one miracle after another miracle. If you part everything about it, by the time we break it down, you understand. Now, what do I do? Every time you look, I'm getting in a fix. Just begin to give thanks. Not for 5 minutes. Let me teach you this. Normalize thanksgiving in your life. Stop using thanksgiving as a means to an end. You know, this idea of Ekinedike and Kome. Ikadi, you are using, before we pray, let us just ceremonially say, Father, thank you. Normalize thanksgiving. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He said, this is the will of God concerning you. This is the will of God. So how can you be using the will of God for your life as a means to an end? Give me like NLT of this. Let's read together, everybody, if it comes on the screen. Are you ready? Read with me. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. We belong to Christ Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. In all circumstances. So by the time you say, I don't know what to do, you know what to do. Give thanks. So, this is still January. Tough times may come in March, it may come in June, it may come in August, and what have you. Remember, before you say, sir, I just don't know what to do. Give thanks. That's what to do. Give thanks. Hallelujah. Just give thanks. The next time you get that medical report, give thanks. The next time everywhere is blocked, give thanks. The next time everything is shot against you. We're going to give thanks. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Break out into singing. Yeah. That's why, whether you have a good voice or not, make sure that at least once every day, if not more than that, that heaven hears your own voice singing. No matter how good or bad it is. Have you sang today? I mean, you're apart from church now. Make sure you sing. No, the good thing is, Pastor Henry may not put you in the choir, but Lord has recruited you to his own choir. So even though they think you are not good enough for the choir, God thinks your voice is good enough for him. I'm just encouraging you. Like, can you tell somebody, say, my voice is good enough for God? Even though you don't believe in me, but heaven believes in my voice. And I'm going to sing it. Whether it's off key or on key. You know, it is easier to hear God when you're in that zone of thanksgiving. I've practiced that for long. It's still my pattern all the time. When it gets tough, hallelujah. Glory to God. Just give thanks. Just give thanks. And I've got you, don't play music and dance. When you play music, sing along. I go, don't just play music and then you're dancing. Sing along. Sing along. That's why all those worship songs, learn them. Learn all those songs. I can tell the point. Don't just say, Hallelujah. Amazing God. Yes. Amazing. Yes. Thou far is my. Learn it. My far is the. Then you are waiting for. All praise. All praise. You know what I'm saying now. Learn it. So, you know, when you come to church and you hear a new song you do not know, don't get it. Just write it somewhere. Go home and begin to do this. Go and begin to learn it. Because that's what we sing in this church. When you hear a song once, you are sure you're going to hear it about 50 times in this same church. Because I repeat songs a lot. It's also one of the marks of a proper teaching ministry. I repeat myself in teaching, but I repeat songs a lot. It's deliberate. People want to hear a new song just every Sunday. I don't totally believe in that. Like, I repeat my songs often and often and often. Until it will get it. And when you know, there are some songs that we sang in this church that when you are passing through something and you sing it, it means something else to you so deeply because you've sang it too much here. Hallelujah. Your death became a death of shame. Sing it again. Say amazing grace.
Amazing grace.
Oh yes.
Amazing grace. That far outweighs my past mistakes.
My God.
Your death became a debt of shame.
Yes. Say all praise.
All praise.
Yes.
All praise.
Come on. See all praise.
All praise.
Yes.
All praise.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
See the old life is gone, and the new has begun. Your name always.
Jesus, you were Lord. Praise God with songs like that. You get me? Praise God with songs. That's why I tell you, when we are singing in church, it's not a time to vibe. Church is not club. Church is not club for believers. Say, if we cannot go to the club, let us vibe in church. Church is not a place you vibe. When we are singing, our songs are praises to God. We are not the audience of the worship. We are not the audience of the praise. The praise was directed at us. So the choir is not supposed to sing the song you like. They should sing the song that God wants them to sing to give him praise. So you focus on the Thanksgiving, not you. Now, should you dance? Well, you should. But that's not the whole idea of the whole thing. It's for you to really praise God. And so that when you get back to your own personal, you know, one of the things I wanted to learn is everything we do in church here, you should take a piece of that home. Yes. When we pray here, make sure you pray at home. As you're learning God's word here, make sure you're learning at home. As you're singing here, make sure you're singing at home. If the only thing about your Christian life ends up in church here, you're not going to have a very solid Christian life, and you won't always know what God wants you to do. It is when you practice these things, even here at home, that it becomes clear on what God wants you to do. Give thanks at all times. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. You cannot hear God in depression. You cannot hear God when you are moody. You will hear your flesh. You will hear your mind. Get into that zone of thanksgiving. Into that zone of joy. So what is there to be thankful about? Well, be thankful for the death of Jesus on the cross. Be thankful. There's a lot to be thankful about. For God saving you and redeeming you, be thankful. In fact, if you look into the situation deeply, there is something to be thankful about. It has not gone that bad because God is in the picture. God has not let the will of the enemy prevail over you because he's in the picture. So be thankful. Now, what to do is not lacking. What to do is very clear. It is a question of how many people can yield to God and do what he wants them to do. So people are just saying, Father, please, what do I do? See, just going to say, feed the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues a lot, prophesy, and break it to thanksgiving. Then what next? In verse 18. In verse 20 rather. He said, give thanks. Ephesians 5:20. He said, give thanks at all times, in everything and all of that. And then in verse 21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another. Is also one of the ways to get yourself filled with the Spirit. In fact, it's also one of the expressions and clear evidences of a Spirit-filled life. So I'm not going to have time to get into that, but let me make this statement. Submitting yourself, in your human relationships is a major sign of a Spirit-filled life. One of the ways this helps you in knowing the will of God is because many times, God will reach you through the human relationships in your life. And if you don't have an attitude of submission, you will miss it. For instance, you know, if you read this entire, from this chapter, from this verse 21, down to chapter 6, verse 9, he was talking about submission. Verse 22, he talks about submitting, wives submitting to your husband. He introduces the husband as the head of the family, but then the husband is also under the Lord. So the husband must submit to the Lord. Why the wife submit to the husband? In chapter 6, verse 1, it talks about children submitting to their parents. Are you following the point? Then if you go further, it talks about servants submitting to their masters. The reason is because there are many, imagine if you are in church and you don't have a heart of submission. Sometimes, one of the ways God leads you is that he will speak to you through the people he has put in your life. So if you're not submitted, it is difficult to do the will of God. In fact, if you're not submitted, you've shut off and cut off some means through which God can lead you, can meet you. Are you following what I'm saying now? So what it means is that if God speaks to you and you do not hear or you miss him because you are careless, there is no voice he can use to bring you back. So that's why in Paul teaching about being filled with the Spirit, he inserted submission in that teaching. Because it's a very important part of it. Because many times God will reach you about his will through people. For a wife, God can reach you about his will through your husband. And that's why you notice the context, you notice wife submit to your husband is just one of the things that was said about submission. So submission is not a teaching we do to women, we give to women. Are you following me? It's a teaching for every Christian. We only give it to women in the context of the home. Are you following the point? As wives, you submit to their husband. But verse 21 said, submitting yourselves one to another. So a church member, male or female, must submit to the leader. So even if as a male, your leader in church is a female, you must submit to the person. You must. If your boss in the office is a female, you must submit to the person.
Are you following what I'm talking about?
So what Paul is saying is, wherever you have to submit, you submit. It's one of the signs that you are spirit-filled, you are spirit-led, and it makes it easy for God to get across to you with his will. Such that when, now there are many people I can tell you for real that their lives have been preserved by divine leading just because they are submitted very well. Simple counsel can just preserve you. Are you aware? Simple counsel can show you what to do. Simple counsel. Simple counsel can sort a very complicated situation. And the person that counseled you will say it casually. I will sort everything. You know, sometimes because of the wisdom of God, some people come to my office and are telling me about what they're passing through, how it's complicated. And sincerely in my mind, I feel, what, there's nothing complicated about this. No one now answer, they say, why wasn't I thinking about it before? It's the wisdom of God. That's why Paul said, in finding what the will of God is, yes, be filled with the Spirit. Yes, gift us at all times, but submit yourself one to another. Do you understand the point? It's also a way that it makes it very easy for God to get to you. So there are many things to do. I've seen counsel save people. I've seen counsel save me. I've seen counsel save me. Amen. I've been counseled once, and the counsel came with a very strong ultimatum. He said, get this thing done. You know one thing about submission? It saves you. He said, get this thing done. Make sure you sort this matter in 1 week. And get back to me about that. Yes, sir. Look at the point. Whatever he was telling me to sort out, I already knew I should sort it out. You know, there are things you know you should do, but you don't know how to do it. You don't know how to go about it. You don't even, sometimes you're emotional or sentimental about it. And then you just need a voice of someone to submit to tell you, sort this thing, man. He said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Something else is now pushing. Has it ever happened to you? Eh? Should I give you a practical example? There are many examples. It happens. There are things that you know you have to do. Maybe let me use relationship. You might be in a relationship that you know you need to end. But you're wondering, how do I, if I end it now, how will the brother now feel? This guy will now be looking at me somehow. That's where the voice of submission comes in. You can't tell pastor, say, what's wrong with you? That thing should end before next Thursday service. Amen. And suddenly the wisdom of God to end it will come because you have to end it. That's part of submission. That's part of submission. So, by Sunday we'll begin to look at how to be led by the Spirit. But don't forget the things I share with you today. Be filled with the Spirit. As in, speak to yourselves in psalms, in spiritual songs. Give thanks always. And stay submitted. Every other thing around the valley thing will circle around this thing I told you. By the time we get to talking about being led by the inward witness, when you always filled with the Spirit, always speaking in tongues, it's easier to hear from your inward, to speak from your inward witness. I get that. It's easier to hear from your inward voice. When we talk about God using people to talk to you, when you are submitted as you should be, God will use the right people to talk to you. It's because of lack of submission, for instance, that's why many people try to hear God through a human voice, and they think they can hear God through just any human voice in the world. But if there was proper submission, you should have known that there are people God will never use to talk to you. Are you aware? Huh? There are people God will never use to talk to you. Never. Now, this concept of God can use anybody to talk to you is a lie. So, can use anybody? You don't know how. God was in mysterious ways. No. God can even use your donkey to talk to you. He can use a madman to talk to you. He can use a madman to talk to your son. You. Can you want to deliver an important message to your child and you say, let me send this madman, this popular madman on the street? And he just comes to your child and says, yeah. Then your daddy said you should. The child will even start running. So if a madman ever spoke to you, that wasn't God. So what if what the person said is correct? Only an aqua familiar spirits. I've heard of them. They're all over the place. I have stories. I know somebody that a madman told that she would get married and she got married. He says, sir, what can you say about that? I think, since God will not use a mad person to talk to me, it's not possible. So, my ear is blocked. My heart is blocked. I can't hear God again.
and I don't have a spiritual father, I don't have any mentor, I don't have any spiritual friend, I don't have any church, everybody has died. So God now had to send the popular madman in our street to come and talk to me. It's not possible. It's not true. I'm delivering you now. Stay submitted. So God know how to reach you. Before you say madman is talking to you. He said, but he called me my name. The first question you have to ask yourself is, what is making that person mad? Holy Spirit or evil spirit? Let's talk to that. Is it Holy Spirit or evil spirit making the person mad? A touch of Holy Spirit. He's obviously an evil spirit. Or Indian hemp. Ego. Do you get it? That's okay. So the Holy Spirit now, the evil spirit. Do you notice that in the book of Acts, that girl was mad, as far as I'm concerned. She was mad. She was possessed with the spirit of divination. She could see things. She even gave Paul an accurate word. She said concerning Paul, these are the men that show you the way of life. Yet Paul drove that demon from her. Because it's not a question of being correct or being wrong. The fact that it's an evil spirit talking. God speaks to us, not to a madman. I don't know why I'm talking about this madman today. So if you have been asking on an instruction, you go from a madman, desist immediately. Stop now. Say, God can speak through anything. You cannot find that in the Bible. He said, God used Balaam's talk. You talk to Balaam. Are you Balaam? And how many times did that happen? How many times did that happen in the Bible? And did it ever happen at all in the New Testament? Was Jesus ever riding a donkey and the donkey said, hello, Jesus? Are you getting what I'm talking about? You can't do that. God speaks to you. And on Sunday, I'm going to show you how. But even if your ears are shut that he cannot reach you, he knows people that he can reach you through. That's why there is need for you to stay submitted. A wife that is submitted to the husband, God can easily reach him or her through that. A husband also that loves the wife, whether it's peace and unity, God can reach the husband even through the wife. Very easily. Like if you've been hearing, God can just say, you know, we've been thinking of something recently in the home. I've been praying about it. God, I needed, God's leading on something. Something wanted to start and all of that. And it was just in the course of my conversation with mom. We were just talking casually about it in the house. And then she said something and I said something. Before you know, it looked like, wow, this is what we're going to do. It became very clear to everybody. Now, I didn't hear that in my prayer room. I heard that in conversations. You know what I'm talking about? So there is also a place for being submitted. That's what I would say. Be submit yourself one to another. So that when God speaks to your friend, you will know that God has spoken to your friend. Are you following me? Say, I will never be confused. Say, I will always know what to do. So live a spirit-filled life in 2026. Stand your feet. This is God's will for all seasons. And it also makes it easier to know his will over every other matter. So are you at a point in your life now where you are confused about what to do? This is what to do. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Even if you are crying, like you are in a difficulty, you are crying. While you are crying, you just be crying. Obey the word. I'm telling you. Do it. I'm telling you. Obey the word. Now you do that to a point. Then God begins to give you word. When I cry, everything is getting better. Just obey the word. I'm telling you the truth. You think every time I speak the word and all that, I think I'm always happy. You think I'm always happy? Your happiness should not be decided by what is happening. Don't act your feeling. Act the word. Don't do your feelings. Do the word. So speak to yourself in psalms. Sing and make melody in your heart. Melody in your heart. Melody in your heart. When last do you have a good dance in your house? A healthy dance. Alone. Alone. Not shutting your door, you're dancing to Kukere. You are dancing in the Holy Ghost.
Are you following me now? Then that's in the Holy Ghost. That's what you do. When they say, what are you doing? I'm doing the will of God over the matter. So how it does insult it, I'm doing the will of God. The will of God said I should just be filled with the Spirit. And I just go, oh, glory to God. I'm doing the will of God over the matter. So you guys say, you guys reason. So you think by all this prayer and shouting, things will be sorted. I may not realize when Daniel and the friends didn't know what to do about the king's dream, they went to him and they prayed. So while you might not know what to do yet over the matter, you know what the word has said. Start doing what the word has said. You will now know what to do over it. Lift your hands in this place. Hallowed be your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For sufficient word, hallowed be your name.
Thank you, Lord.
Shepherd of my soul, hallowed be your name.
We're going to sing one more time now. Deep worship with the Lord just alone. One of the things that being submitted does to you is that it saves you from strange prophets. Yes. Someone just says, I have a word from the Lord. The first five people to comment, amen. On my comment section, I'll give them a word. Or the first 10 people to send me a DM now. And you too, you are sending DM. Is it because you have no voices around you? That's what the Bible said. You want to always know what to submit yourself one to another. And look at the point. It says about the last one I sent gave me a word. That's how the devil operates. They'll give you the right word until your money will go for it. What do you think they're doing on Facebook? It's business. So your money is going. There are voices that God will use to talk to you. Submit yourself one to another. So there is no time. So I can tell you a very simple thing. If I don't know what to do over a matter, I will speak in the Holy Ghost, prophesy, I will give, I will rejoice, then I will go to meet people that I'm submitted to and talk to them. I cannot do this and still be out of ideas. It's not possible. Because in speaking myself in Psalm, all of that, I'm opening up myself to my inward witness. You get the point? In giving thanks, I'm putting my heart right. So if I try all of that and that one doesn't work, I'll just go to the next instruction. Submit yourself once around that. I'll just go to talk to that. Brother, sir, good evening, sir. Look at what the issue is. I know what I'm doing. I'm just doing the word. And I'll come back with answers. Say, Mr. I will never be confused. Shout it like you know it. Don't leave this here in confusion. No. It's been long why I left that zone of confusion. Long. It's been long. It's been long. The last time I remember, I've told you guys that story many times, was when 2016. I published a book. You remember? I wrote a book and printed the book and published it. And I waited for the money. That they finished printing it all, but I needed money to go and bring, you know, to bring the book. And I went there, they refused to give me the book.
So I pleaded with the man. He said, no, he wasn't giving me. So I called. I called all the people I know in my life. Even people I shouldn't call. They say, you would have called me last week. I would have given you the money. That's the last time I ever did anything like that anyway. I called everybody. It wasn't forthcoming. And the problem was that I had a deadline when the book was meant to come out. Because that deadline, we're having a program. And I already announced to everybody that book will be available in that program. And the date was approaching. I didn't know what to do. So 2 days to the meeting, everybody had left the house and gone to, and they, I think they went for rehearsal. And I was alone that night. My book was still not through. It was still there. And I was dealing with a very wicked, let me call him principled man. I begged this money. I give me, even if it is 100 copies, let me go and sell. I swear I'll bring back the money. He said, no. So your money is complete. I'm not leaving this place with you. I went to him that day. In the night, I was pissed. I was angry. I was complaining. Even God felt it that night. I said, what kind of father are you? Now, I wasn't saying it in my heart. What kind of father are you? First of all, you know I don't like writing. Because I don't like writing. You know how much I hate writing. Now, you pushed me to write. You put the vision in my heart. You told me what to write. You gave me inspiration. Now, I wanted to give me money to go and bring the book. So it was a very hot night for the Holy Ghost. Also, I thought, I was just saying, I'm going to say my mind. I'm going to say my mind. If you kill me, kill me. But it's better that I die than that I disappoint myself. I've told everybody I'm going to produce this book. Well, then I did that from 10, 11. I didn't eat. That was my appetite. I didn't know what to do. I was confused. So, you know, most times when you are confused, the easiest person to begin to shout at. You don't know who to blame. Just find God and blame him. So I was just there. 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. I was still doing that shit, that rubbish. Then I now brought the book. I opened the book. I was complaining. I'm thinking about it now. How did I have what to say from 10 to 2? I didn't lack utterance. I was talking. I was talking to God about message. This is not fair. This is not fair. That's how they used to serve you. If I ever write another book again. This one, I would have said I will not serve you again. Just I know you are bigger than me in that one. You force me to serve you. But I remember that because I was something I need to say to the Lord that night. From 10 to 2, around 2. And I brought the book. I mean, the soft copy of the book. And I began to open it. I got to flip it. Look at what somebody finished writing. Look at somebody finished writing. Look at, just imagine. Just imagine. Just for you to come and disgrace someone. I said, then my eye fell on a page of the book. I was reading it. And I found out that I needed the book I wrote. Because that was a book on faith. Some of you know the book. That's Building Jesus, the second one I produced. That was one of the days, the subject of conversion on that day is, did it fail? Remember? And I was showing that you can trust God and it will look like it didn't work. I was using the story of David when he prayed for the child not to die, and the child later died, and he got up and he began to eat. So I read that. That's why sometimes you realize preaching is actually inspired. Yes, because it's inspired because you can listen to your own message and cry. It's actually inspired. So I read it. I read it again. I wasn't having it, but I just knew what to do. So immediately I just. You know, as at a day before the meeting, or 2 days before the meeting was that night, I didn't have any single message on what to preach in the conference that we were planning. I was so engrossed with the book. Well, I had to close that, and I began to give thanks, I began to sing, I began to dance that night in the Holy Ghost. From that 2 a.m. till around 7, by the time the people that went for the honor as I came back, I was still awake, rejoicing in the Spirit. Before I was done, I already knew what to preach. The message came. A lot of powerful revelations came to me that night. Teachings like history and redemption was that night. And every other thing that came with it. Now, did I leave that place that night knowing what to do? Not exactly. Well, yes. You know what I need to do? Leave the book and just do your program. So I left. I didn't bother about it. Now, not only was the book letter paid for, everything sold out, but look at the point. From that night, I knew that what to do when you don't know what to do is to just pray and rejoice and shout, prophesy. When you don't know what to do, do what the word says to do. You can never be out of option. Say, I always know what to do. Shout it again. Have you ever been at a point where you look like you are confused? How many of you are at that point in your life now? You know what to do now. Can we do a shouting of Holy Ghost this evening? Now, stop. Now, that was deliberate. I'm going to ask you to do it again. But the Lord said to me, some of them have not shouted in a long time. Because you can be so bothered about what you have to do that it even shuts your mouth. So let's try it again. Let's give a shout in the Holy Ghost this evening. Glory! Say with me, say, I always know what to do. Say, I will never be confused in my life. Say it again. Shout it again. Say, 2026, I will never be confused. I will never be out of ideas. I will never be stranded. Say, by God's Spirit, I always know what to do. I always know the step to take. I can never be confused. That'll be your story. So what today is very simple. So by the time I begin to teach on the world witness on Sunday, this is actually how to position yourself. You'll be able to always hear from the Spirit. So when you don't even know what to do, you're trying to trust God for a matter, just be filled with the Holy Ghost. When God said filled with the Holy Ghost, what to do is staring you in the face. Are you blessed? Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise this evening.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.